The question today is, what is the doctrine of TULIP? The doctrine of TULIP, as we said yesterday, and I said we would try to explain it today and deal with the words. It was taking a word, TULIP, and using it as an acrostic, which means to put a word in place of each letter. For instance, T means total depravity. The U means unconditional election. The L means limited atonement. The I means irresistible grace. And the P means perseverance of the saints. Now, as I've said before on the radio broadcast in time past, I've not studied after all these men such as John Calvin, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, because John Calvin, he persecuted the Baptist brethren, from what I understand. He also had infant baptism, and so I wouldn't even let him join our church if he came, because he doesn't meet the qualifications of that. He may have come out of the Catholic Church and or some other church that was out of the Catholic Church as a Protestant, but he didn't come far enough, as far as I am concerned. So I don't want to follow man. I want to go back. If I'm going to follow an old writer, I'll go back to Paul. Paul's older writer. In fact, anyone who follows Calvin, and they're just stopping short, they like 1,500 years going back further enough and getting with the Bible, as Paul used to write the epistles, which were where we establish our doctrine, if you please. Now, we take the T, the total depravity. I have no problem with that if you understand what total depravity is. Man is depraved. Man is depraved. Whenever man was made in the image of God, and by the way, that was Adam made in the image of God. All of us are made in the image of man. We're made in the image of Adam, but we're born in sin. We're dead in trespasses and sin, and we come forth from a mother's womb speaking lies. We're depraved. That means we're just corrupted to the core. That means basically we're beyond self-help, and we can't help ourselves because there's no consciousness of God. And in other words, you're dead in trespasses, and that spirit is dead. When Adam sinned, the Bible said, the day you sin, you'll die. He died that day. I mean, he died not physically, because he lived several years, but he died spiritually. Had a dead spirit laying up on, as a corpse upon his soul. He had no consciousness toward God in that condition until God stirred inside. We'll call that conception. Now, you see, a lot of your people who believe in the doctrine of TULIP, they call that regeneration. They call that the new birth. I want to tell you what, there's many people who've been awakened that will not enter in heaven. Luke 13:24 said, strive to enter in the straight gate, for many are going to seek. The only reason you seek is because you've been awakened, and therefore they'll not be able to enter, he said. And so there, a lot of people say everybody who ever seeks or everybody God ever deals with is going to enter heaven. That's not so. That's unscriptural doctrine. That's why did he warn in the book of Hebrews 6:4-6? It's impossible for those who've tasted of the powers of the world to come, the good things of God, and being made a partaker in that he went along with the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost conviction, but he got short-circuited and turned back. If he utterly falls away, it'd be impossible for him ever to be renewed to repentance. That wasn't one that was chosen to die and go to hell, as these people say. Listen, God made a way. God made a way on Calvary for every person that will come God's way. And I know man can't within himself, but God deals with every man and everything he tells you to do. He gives you the enablement to do it when he speaks it to your heart. Every light he gives you the enablement to respond to that if you'll do it. And God's going to get the glory. It's nothing good in man to do it. But we are a depraved creature. We are dead in trespasses and sin, no consciousness toward God, and a dead spirit. We've got no hope, no faith, no love, no worship, and no fear inside. Five senses of the spirit dead. And the natural man doesn't understand. But when God awakens you, there begins to be a work. There begins to be an understanding. And as a result, you are depraved. You are depraved. You're controlled by the flesh and the world and the devil. So I don't have any problem with that if you don't go to the extremes and get in the ditch on total depravity. But you're beyond self-help. The U is unconditional election. And as I said yesterday, the people in England basically tell over there, they use the word unmerited election. And I looked it up on the internet, and I found where they said the unmerited election. And I say, I have no problem with that. Unmerited means it's the grace of God. And as I said yesterday about a man in another country that told me that basically it just meant it's all of grace. I said, hallelujah, I believe that. But yet, whenever I went to the internet and looked up some of those articles on the unmerited election, guess what they always come back to define it? Unconditional election. Now, I don't know all they mean by unconditional election. I really don't know. all they mean. Because there's too many different sides out there. But what they basically are saying, there's nothing good in man. I agree with that. It's a work of God. I agree with that. And it's all of grace. I agree with that. But what they're saying is basically that God chooses, and I don't know what he's basis in. There's no merit of man, and I understand that. But basically he chooses, and as a result, he marks it down before the foundation of the world. Yes, but that's according to foreknowledge of God. 1 Peter 2 said it's according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience. In other words, obedience of the gospel is what it amounts to, obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. And that's got to be, that's what the three steps, in a sense, if you please, of election is. Now, foreknowledge doesn't mean there's a spark of divinity in man, but God knows how man is going to, what man is going to do. And as he enables him to do it, man responds. He knows all about that, and he can write the book before the foundation of the world and say, hey, I've chosen Christ, and this man's going to receive Christ, and he'll get it. Now, that's not putting any emphasis on man. It's just that man has a responsibility. I believe this doctrine, like some teach it today, I would not be on this radio broadcast. I would not spend my time to preach. I would not spend my time to send out missionaries. I would not even worry about the life I lived. I wouldn't even be like Moses. I'd enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season if I really believed this like they do. But yet they say that, well, that's not that way. See, they're trying to live a good enough life to hope they'll be accepted in the end, and yet most of them have never had a work of God done in their heart. There's never been a time and a place where they repented of sin and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with saving faith. And if you don't have a time and a place where that's done, where the gospel comes in power and the Holy Ghost of God, I don't care what you call yourself, whether it's just Baptist, I don't care what it is, you're lost and undone and without God and without hope in this world, and you may stand and justify yourself, as Matthew 7:22 said, and Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful works in thy name, cast out many devils in thy name, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And that Greek means I never knew you at any time, in case you are on the other side and think you're one of these Arminians who believe you can fall from salvation and lose your salvation. You see, that's the other ditch on the other side of the road. A hyper-Calvinist on one side, fatalism, and then there's the Arminianism on the other side that people got, where you can do what you want when you want. That's the easy believism method today. Even though you may not believe you can lose your salvation, but still, if you practice that, you're leaning toward the ditch of Arminianism, and it's not good. You see, you can't do anything within yourself, but oh, when God comes and he plants a seed inside you, he gives you light, he gives and speaks to your heart in some way, whether it's through the light of creation or whatever. Now, light of creation will not convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment, but the light of creation lets you know that God exists. And when you know that, you'll begin to seek him, because you'll be awakened. You'll turn from the broad way to the narrow way. And that's not salvation. But if you'll continue, Jesus told them in John 8:31, he told those people, and he'd never tell him anything that wasn't so. He gave them an opportunity. If you'll continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Yet they didn't continue. They got angry, and Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. But they had an opportunity because the Lord spoke it. If God didn't give them an opportunity that day, then hey, listen, we might as well put the whole book up. Don't ever try to say they wasn't elect. No, I don't care what you say. They wasn't, because they didn't respond to the light that God gave. They had the voice of the Lord there, and there was power, there was enablement to do what he said to do if they had only moved in it. And they'd have had to said when it was over, if they'd have done that, he did it all, to God be the glory. So this thing of unconditional election, I cannot go along with that. No way, shape, form, and fashion like they defined it. If you want to call it unmerited favor, it's all of grace, I'll say amen. I can handle tulip in that sense. Now, the third letter is the word L, limited atonement. Limited atonement. And I know there's a lot of different definitions of that. I know it talks about how the Lord died for many, and I understand that. Listen, you realize something. The Lord dying on the cross of Calvary, his atonement was capable of saving the entire world. He said in 1 John chapter 2, and don't try to add the elect on me in these verses, amen. I mean, I know that I know your arguments, and I've studied those arguments a little bit. But he said in 1 John chapter 2 that he's the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. In other words, he is the sacrifice and the substitute and the mercy seat for the sins of the whole world. That's not just for the world of the elect. Now, that doesn't mean what you say, what transpired. See, God in foreknowledge knew who's going to be saved. He knows exactly who's going to be saved. And so he can write it down before. But yet it's got to be carried out. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he's not going to add one thing to that. He's not going to take away one thing. It's already done. Yet he said he came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil's not destroyed yet, is he? No, he's not destroyed. But he's going to be. It's marked. And only the Lord can say something as good as done, even though it's not yet done. It'll be carried out right on God's timetable. The devil will be cast in the lake of fire out yonder in Revelation 20, and other things happened to him even before that time. But the thing about it is, you see, what God says will come to pass just exactly like he said. And he said he was the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Now, at the great white throne judgment where the lost will be, there's going to be the books open. The word of God's going to be open. You'll be judged out of these books. There's the books of remembrance Malachi spoke about will be there. But there's also the book of life. Why is the book of life there? In other words, are you going to, somebody said, well, you won't have a leg to stand on. Well, I understand that. Your excuses won't hold up. Because God's going to show you there that you had an opportunity, a capability of being saved if you just responded to the light. You'll see every light you've rejected and see how that God enabled you to move if you'd only moved in the right direction. Because you realize something, there's going to be a blank space where your name was blotted out of the book of life. See, you're safe till you reach a knowledge of accountability. But when you reach that knowledge, then your name is subject to being blotted out of the book of life. And as a result, you're covered by the grace of God. God giving you goodness and long-suffering and forbearance in Romans 2:4, giving you a space of repentance and bringing you to the place to where you might be saved. And yet if you reject, your name will be blotted out of the book of life. If you die without Christ, your name will be blotted out of the book of life, and that book will be given to the Lord after the rapture, and there will be the Lamb's book of life where there will be a space totally erased where your name could have been. Whether it's chronological or alphabetical, I don't know. Not know, but it'll be there and you'll be judged, and your name not there, you'll be cast in the lake of fire. Oh, that's not because God chose you to hell, but because you rejected life that God gave you and he paid for on the cross of Calvary, capable of saving every man. I'll deal with this more tomorrow. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.